hope has died. Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers. Good evening, brothers. Blessing from Arkansas this evening.
All right.
Glad to be here.
And good evening and welcome aboard, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I'll keep an eye on the phone lines, and I know you have a couple callers scheduled, and we'll sure bring them right in, and looking forward to another good broadcast.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? Those have been set free from that which has hindered them, that which has tormented them, that which has kept them from being the fullness they can be within the body of Christ. We do thank you for joining us this evening. If there's any questions you have about deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. There's training available. There's ministry tools available. There's prayers available. There's just a lot of weapons available on that website. Almost everything we talk about is available there, and it's there free of charge, so take advantage of it. Also, if you are old school and you'd like to use a book instead, you can order the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. It has nearly 40 years' worth of experience laid down in it. That's a pretty simple manual, step-by-step, on how to effectively cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And Pastor Cox, glad to have you back. Another Wednesday came around. Seems like they come by quicker and quicker sometimes.
Well, they sure do, Brother Ralph. They come quick. And the weeks come quick, the months come quick, and even the years come quick, it seems. But here we are, another go-around, and we had 17 cases Monday night. It was another great evening. We were a little shy of ministers. I wound up taking a little group of four, and that works pretty good. Not as good as one-on-one, where you can dig and focus, but obviously got some freedom. They were yawning, coughing, and burping, and feeling these spirits. We had the Bibles on. There's a couple other people in there with me. And they obviously had some help. I haven't had a chance to talk to any of them yet, but there's no way they wouldn't be better. And they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they had some short legs adjust. One man, an inch and a quarter, came out while we commanded it to adjust. So it was another good evening, and what amazes me is those 17 at the door when they come in, greeting them and asking them if they've been here before, and it's just the same every Monday night. The bulk of them are new people. They come from all over. We had three from Kansas, and some from different places over Oklahoma, the bulk of them from the metro. And it's one week at a time, praise God, helping the hurting people.
Yes, praise God. And I got to do a deliverance this Sunday on a young lady that was heavily tormented. She lost a daughter to a car wreck about a year ago, and her life has just been spiraling out of control through obviously turning to drugs and alcohol to try to numb the pain. She was overwhelmed with grief. So a couple of her friends had told her about what I do, and the hope is there. And it was tough. I will say it was without a doubt the roughest and toughest deliverance I ever did, and heavy manifestations. I've got my suspicions on why that was going on, but I think she's going to need more ministry. But by the time it was done, I talked to her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And before we got too far in the conversation, I realized she had not even been baptized by water, and I thought she'd had from an earlier conversation. So I was able to sit down with the scripture, show her the need and importance of water baptism, and she got on the phone right then, put her daddy on speaker. Her daddy was he might have been a minister at one time, and I wasn't quite sure, but he was definitely an elder in his church, and she said to him, Daddy, I know you've been asking me to do this for a long time, but I would like you to baptize me, and I want to get it done right away.
Oh, that's awesome.
Praise God on that. I think we got some relief from her. I know that she had to do better because she did lay a lot of stuff out. And I haven't heard back from her. I've texted her a couple times, haven't heard back, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I'm going to stand on faith because the word says she was very, very engaged in the deliverance.
Hallelujah.
So she did not want them anymore, and she was being tormented by a spirit that claimed to be her daughter. And she had made the mistake of communicating several times with her, and she finally realized it wasn't her daughter, and she was seeing that spirit while we were going through the deliverance. And I saw a manifestation myself in the background. I don't know what it was, but I saw it. And she wasn't just telling it. She was screaming at it. You're not my daughter. Go away. I'm tired of you. Go away in Jesus' name. I mean, she was screaming this at the top of her lungs. She did not want the spirit grasping her anymore. Yes. And if she would do it, I would just say, yeah, that's right. Get mad at it. Get angry. Get angry. We want it to go.
Yes.
We want it to go. So it was definitely an interesting one. Pastor, it was, I would have really liked to have some backup, but you know, the good thing was I did have backup. I had angels helping me, and I had Jesus with me.
That's right. You were well armed and
well
to go forth in his name as he commanded us to do. And as Paul said, resist the devil, or James said it, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. She was doing that when she was commanding us to go. She was resisting it. And, you know, there's no telling how many people are having those kinds of experiences. I've run into several myself recently where they thought they were talking to a deceased relative, and it was just those spirits taking advantage of that. Sometimes those spirits had actually been in that person. They have a lot of knowledge about them because they were in, and when the person died, they came out, and here they are now masquerading. So
Yes.
It's the enemy. They're very tricky. They're good at what they do, but praise God we've been given this ALL power from the cross to deal with them. Sadly, most Christians, just like I was up to age 44, have no idea about all this going on around us. And so many problems people have actually have, they're demonically rooted, which is good news in so many ways because we can cast them out and the problem's gone. So that's why I've been doing this 40 years and Monday night sessions are in our 35th year now. And we just keep doing. We do about 700 cases a year, and those are one-on-one for the bulk of them.
Yes, and you know, she had said some. She had a very, very talkative spirit about her. It was actually the spirit of confusion. When I came against the spirit of confusion, that's when the spirit that was masquerading with her daughter manifested, and she. I could tell she'd seen it because when she looked up, she jumped back. When she jumped back, it scared me because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
and it was definitely a lot of manifestation. I did use the angels to calm her down a couple of times. I suspect the main reason was is the person that brought her up, she had done the channeling with, and I don't think she had repented. And she kept coming in and out to check on her because she drove her up there. But it was definitely a challenge. But what was one thing she had said to me, she did realize, and I don't remember if she said it that night or what a preliminary conversation, she said, look, I know it's wrong, and I know that can't be my daughter because my daughter's with Jesus. If my daughter's with Jesus, she's not hanging around my room.
There you go.
And I said amen on that. Amen. Amen. And so she definitely repented of that sin. I showed her, she knew about the scripture. I showed it to her and had her renounce what she had done. So I'm hoping that familiar spirit will be gone and walk in faith that we cast it out. She definitely seemed better, but I let her know that I think you're going to need more ministry and get with me. And I even told her that I couldn't get the ministry she needed, that I would help her get out to Oklahoma City and maybe get with some people that have maybe a little more experience with dealing with the emotional grief of the loss of a child than I do. So, but,
you know
what?
Ralph,
I know she's doing better.
That's another, a scripture along those lines is a man is appointed once to die and then the judgment. So there's no hanging around. It's directly wherever you're going. To heaven.
Well,
God.
She did show me. She wanted to show me pictures of her daughter. And actually, I remember when she started talking, I remember the wreck, and this happened about a year ago, because there were several children killed in the accident. And she was showing me pictures, but the last picture she was showing me of her daughter was her daughter being baptized. So,
oh, wow. Praise God.
Yeah, full water baptism, so I praise God on that. And I assured her, and she said, I know where she is. But, you know, she was in a lot of grief. And, you know, I came across this, Pastor. I've never seen this. I don't know if you have. She had she had been dealing with depression, of course, but a spirit of slumber that when it was time for bed, she couldn't sleep. But whenever she had to go somewhere, she couldn't wake up. And she kept falling asleep during the door closing prayer. I did ask her how she did through it after we went through, and she says, I don't remember it, but she spoke the words. And I said, well, that's the most important, is you spoke the words. Whether or not you remember it is not as important as the fact that you did speak those words. And when you speak those words, the word performs itself. So,
that's right.
But I had to hit her on the knee, and she would pop up, and she goes, did I fall asleep again? And I said, yes, she did.
Yeah, so, well, that's a spirit. It's actually on our problem list. Slumbering under the fatigue and tiredness group, old and tired group, and lethargy, physical slumbering, mental slumbering. It's another one of these games that the enemy plays on Christians, is to have these demons of tiredness where the person has no energy to get about doing their destiny, their ministry, and to enjoy life abundant. They're fatigued out. How clever of the enemy. But, of course, when it's cast out, then people will have this amazing energy come upon them.
Yes. Pastor, we have Holly on the line. Holly, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Yes. Hi, Holly. That's Ralph up in Missouri. And so excited you called in. We finally got together here. And Holly, how about going ahead and sharing, give some background, some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance and any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay. Well, I got saved at a very young age. I was raised in a Christian home, and it was just a lot of going to church as a family, and I can remember being really little and accepting Jesus into my heart for a bedtime prayer with my parents one night. I probably was just, maybe 6 or 7, I guess, and just raised in a good Christian home, pretty religious, I guess, the upbringing of the church, not very spirit-filled, so I didn't really know much about deliverance or just the enemy, I guess. And I had heard about deliverance, and why I went was in support of my husband. I went, we went for him, actually, and I ended up benefiting tremendously from it.
Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess, do you want me to share a little bit about my experience?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
I would say that I got several major things from it. The first one I think that I'd want to say is you know, when you have sin that you have repented for and you know God has forgiven you, and sometimes even you might feel forgiven, but it just still haunts you, and just it feels like a weight you can't break out from underneath. It haunts you. It pops into your brain at bedtime, you know, the sin that you did and how you maybe aren't good enough or why you're not worthy, or the people that you hurt with your sin. All of that, when I went through deliverance, me and the minister that I sat with, we discussed that, and I got total freedom. I walked out of there feeling, you know, 100 pounds lighter. It was amazing. It was repented sin, but yet the enemy was hanging it over my head, and Jesus had moved it as far as the east is from the west. But yet the enemy kept putting it back on my shoulders, even though it wasn't mine to carry anymore. And just having that freedom has been a huge relief.
That's, just like
that's
the
one
enemy,
thing. Another thing was I had major issues with self-control when it comes to eating. I had this problem where I would never feel full. Just through the years, I would try different things. I would try, you know, drinking lots of water before I ate, and tried all of these different things to feel full. And I would just never feel satisfied. And I felt like something was wrong with me, or maybe something was broken. And through deliverance, I got to the root of that issue. And I can feel full now when I eat dinner. I feel full. I feel satisfied. I know when my body has had enough. Just having that, a self-control through Jesus has been life-changing for me.
Yes, that is awesome. It's awesome, Holly, that there could be a spirit there. Well, I'm sure when you went through the breaking of ungodly soul ties, that was probably a relief area. Did you see some changes just in that part?
Yes, yes. So I think that, you know, I think that, well, trauma brings in different spirits. And the way I was raised was that you must remain a virgin, you must remain pure until your wedding night, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that, but somehow that became twisted in my head that my virginity was my identity. And when I was 18, my virginity was taken from me without my consent, and it left me broken and wounded and very lost. I didn't know my identity in Christ because my identity was in this thing that was taken away, so it left me feeling like, who am I? I had no idea that along with my staying pure came a big pridefulness. I had a lot of pridefulness in the fact that I was still a virgin when many of my friends were not. It was an ungodly pride. I didn't say to my friends or my peer group that I was waiting for marriage because that's what God wanted me to do. It was just a very prideful thing and boasting in my own self-control. And that just came full circle and came right around and bit me in the butt when that trauma happened to me. Something was able to get a hold and just wreck my self-control. I had none. Because it was all a self-imposed self-control. I didn't give God any of the glory. I didn't give God his place in my life. It was all me doing all the work. And it was a huge breakthrough that I had doing the breaking of the soul tie and all of that. All those puzzle pieces just kind of fit together for me. I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
Well, sure. The trauma door is a big door that so many people, who's escaped having some traumas? You've lived long enough, you've had them. And now what do you do with them? In your case, it was very devastating and became that was a trauma door that was open. And so in the inner healing, I'm sure that's where you got to the root of it, I suppose. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And it was a very just aha kind of moment. I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, we don't realize the power of the words that we speak over ourselves and over our life. And it was like a flashback of me boasting in something that wasn't even mine to boast about. You know, that was a precious gift that God gave me, that was, you know, to be given to my future husband. And it was in my mind, it was something that was mine to be controlled, I guess. I'm not sure, but it was a very traumatic experience for me, and it took a long time to get over a lot of the other issues that come along with an experience like that, but it left me with a hole inside that I just tried to fill. And you know, there were stages in my life where, you know, drugs or alcohol or cigarettes might be one of those things, but as I got older, mostly it just boiled down to food. Food or TV watching, anything like that, of just like couldn't get enough, couldn't turn it off. I knew I needed to stop, and I would see myself and know I was doing it, but I couldn't stop it. It was like I had taken the back seat and something else was driving, something else was in control.
That's the way those spirits operate, Holly. We see it all the time, of course. And, well, so you got that trauma door closed, got to the root of that. How about when you got into the deliverance part? Did you feel these things coming out or anything? What went on there?
Actually, yes. That was also interesting for me. when she asked me, like, what my, oh, I forget the terminology that she used, what was, like, my head demon or my, like, control, what was controlling me the most, I assumed it was going to be pride, but manipulation came to mind. Manipulation and people pleasing. And she said, you know, had told it to leave, and I could feel weird feelings in my body, just kind of an uncomfortable feeling in my body. And she told it to, you know, gather up everything that was working underneath it. And I could feel it started in my legs, and it was like a strong muscle cramp in my legs. And it started down in my calves, and she said, are you feeling anything? And I said, yeah, it's in my legs. It hurts. It aches. And I reached forward, you know, to start rubbing my legs, and she put her Bible, she grabbed her Bible from her bag, and she put it on my legs, and it was like it was running from the Bible. It was crazy. It then landed in my knee, hurt really bad in my knee joint, and so she puts the Bible on my knee, and then it's up in both of my thighs, just cramping, hard cramping. And she just kind of chased it out of my body with the Bible. It was very... I don't have anything to compare it to other than, like, strong muscle cramps. You know, it went to my abdomen, and then it went up to my diaphragm. And then it finally left kind of like I just sighed real big, and then my whole body was just completely relaxed and really light feeling. And since then, actually been able to start exercising, which is something that I've always struggled with because I felt like my legs were cement. And now I can exercise, and I feel physically lighter, emotionally lighter. I feel like my thought life is better too. I've just seen such positive results from this experience.
Oh, that's so awesome. And you know, when you think about it, Holly, how many more out are just like you out there? You're not the only one under attack. All Christians are. Mm-hmm. Think how many more, and they never get the ministry that you received. They go on the rest of their lives without getting free. Who worked with you? What minister do you remember? What
Her
lady
name was
worked
Heather.
With you? Oh, Heather, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. That's awesome. Yeah, she's a good minister.
She was really good. I felt very comfortable with her.
Wow.
And I guess
do you remember
another
any other,
thing is, I thought, like, maybe deliverance was for, people that were, this might sound bad or judgmental, but just that people that maybe had it worse than me, you know, which was really naive thinking, to think that, you know, deliverance is for, like, extreme cases, when deliverance is for everyone, and Jesus wants us free. And he wants us to walk in that freedom so we can be his hands and feet. When we're walking around damaged and broken, we're not helping anybody.
Yes, and some are obviously, like you say, that you would think need this kind of ministry, but what about all these other people? Well, we've had to conclude over these years that it would be a rare person, extremely rare person, that doesn't need this kind of ministry because there's so many doors that are just like your trauma door and others that were open. No doubt you had more than one door open, as most people do. And so who's escaped? Well, they've got the spirit. Some are more subtle than others, but most everybody's got them. And then on top of that, the generational door is open at birth due to the sins and iniquities of our forefathers. And in come those spirits. And so some of them are really tough demons, too, that come through at birth. Well, it's that's why we're on the show tonight, is trying to get the good news out that there's answers in this, that you can get a Jesus overhaul and start living a life abundant. I can already tell just from what you've shared so far that you're beginning to live life abundant.
I am, and just there have been things that I've just struggled with and battled with and thought, why is this not any better? Why is this area of my life not any better? How am I not better at this thing I've been working on? Or, you know, year after, or every New Year's, you know, we have our New Year's resolutions, and I'm like, why is this so hard for me? Well, I had an enemy that was fighting against me the whole way.
Yes. He was undercover. You know, most Christians just think it's their flesh and blood, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you've had some training on this, to know otherwise, it's a natural thing to figure it's just us. Paul even had that problem with the church in Ephesus when he was warning them, "We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against spirits." And so it's frustrating because so few of the Christians seem to have a knowledge of this, and yet Jesus so clearly commanded believers to cast these things out, and I see why he so clearly commanded that in Mark 16:17, because most people have got them, you know.
So yeah.
We're not doing a real, I don't think we're doing a real good job thus far after 2,000 years of reading the Word, and here we are, and seems like about 95% of the Christian body in America, at least, is lacking on knowledge on this. Well, have you seen any other changes that come to you?
Well,
we have a few minutes remaining.
At the very end, Heather prayed and told my body to line up, in Jesus' name to line up, and structurally and all of that. And we talked about pain, and she said, you know, that in Jesus' name, I can tell pain in my body to leave. And I thought, that really hasn't occurred to me before. And so now I'll get a sharp pain or a pain in a weird place or, you know, a headache, like a twinge of a headache, like I'm going to get a migraine coming on. And I just say, in Jesus' name, I do not have that pain in my body. And it works. It actually works. It leaves. And I'm, you know, every now and then I'll have to say it two or three times, but that's been really crazy, like a daily thing.
Oh,
Satan tries to come at me and attack my body in various ways, and I'll say, nope, not happening. Get out of my body in Jesus' name, and it will go instantly. It's bizarre. I've never.
You got it.
I didn't know.
You
I didn't know
it.
We
that's
could
so
do
cool.
such things.
Yes, yes, believers. As Jesus said, shall do these things. And you're a believer, so here you are doing it. That's so awesome.
It's phenomenal. Well,
did you have a short leg or arm when she did the limb check, as we call it?
I did. My left leg was short. It was. And then she told it to line out, and it did. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I've been doing those 40 years now. The church I first, the Full Gospel Church I started going to was doing it back in 78. And so I've seen 40 years, but it's amazing to me every time to see. Monday night I had one guy that had a leg an inch and a quarter short.
Wow.
And it came out partway, about halfway, and of course I've learned when it doesn't come all the way, I say, who else do you need to forgive, since Jesus said if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and he came up with some other names, and then it came on out. So
Wow. That
was another example of how unforgiveness blocks all kinds of healing, not just that's just an example, but it would block all kinds of diseases, etc. That's why we try to get people to do the forgiving in the very early part of the ministry session. Otherwise, the demons have legal rights to stay. Well, we're really out of time. Anything quickly would you say to the listeners before we sign off?
I would just highly encourage everyone to try it, just to go and see what freedom they can get. Yep.
That's awesome. Thank you, Holly. That was a great testimony.
Thank you, Holly.
What a blessing.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
joining us. Thank you for joining us this evening. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, Pastor, we have Tammy with us now. Tammy, thank you for joining.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
yeah. Tammy, thank you for calling in. And if you could, go ahead and give some background on yourself, some history, and when you got born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, my name is Tamara McCray, but everybody who likes me, they pretty much call me Tammy. And I've been, since about maybe 96, 97, I gave my life to the Lord. He delivered me from alcohol and marijuana during my teenage years. And so I was a young mother, got married about 17, and got saved. And in about, like I said, about 96, 97, I began to walk with the Lord, and then just grew. I came into deliverance by anything that had a D on it, and it would just always stand out to me. Anything that had the word of the letter D on it would always stand out to me. And I just anything with deliverance. I always wanted to work with deliverance and cast out demons and set people free. Before I knew it, you know, the Lord had called me to do that type of work. And so it was in me before I realized that it was in me. And it's just something that I really love. I really love deliverance. A lot of people, you know, they think it's a mysteriousness around deliverance, and they don't want to get involved. But I would encourage people to get involved in deliverance. It really breaks the back of the enemy. And I thank God for Mr. Everett Cox in the Deliverance Ministry. I just give them a great applause, because along with the other team members, I get to see so many people, you know, come through, you know, with their lives changed, their complexion changed, their voice changed, and it's just something to see, you know, to bring a smile to your face. So I just thank you and applaud you for the work that you are doing and have been doing for a long time for the kingdom of God. And something else I was going to say, I'm kind of excited. You know, the Lord is just so good. I'm excited at the things he's doing.
Appreciate that. And when did you first learn about deliverance? Was that pretty far back?
No, I would say it was about 89. It was about 89, mm-hmm. And I started learning about deliverance with Apostle Kim Daniels out of Jacksonville, Florida. I started listening to her and reading her book on deliverance. And I did like everybody else. I bought the pigs in the parlor, and I was working at a group home where there were children. There were children, you know, less fortunate type of children that had was born to, like, drug addict parents and things, and, you know, had been molested and that type thing. And so I was working there, and I began to practice, if it's okay to say, on the children that were there after I was reading Pigs in the Parlor. And I was seeing results. And I said, oh, boy, I got something now. You know, I got something now. I was like, Satan, you in trouble. So, you know, after that, I just began to just keep going. And I started, you know, teaching deliverance on Blog Talk Radio. Did that for a little while. So it's some episodes on Blog Talk Radio. And I think it was Fresh Fire. So you can find some videos there on the deliverance under Fresh Fire, under Tamara McCray. And I also teach some videos on Facebook. Got a lot of videos there. And in helping other people, the way I came to know about deliverance ministries under Mr. Everett Cox, I needed a holy shower myself. Sometimes you need to, you know, we minister deliverance, but sometimes I need to go back in. And so that's how I found out about Deliverance Ministries, you know, here in Oklahoma. And so I came through that door and met a whole bunch of wonderful people and, you know, just begin to go in and help there. So I just thank God for all that he's doing.
Now, on the children that you ministered to, do you remember some of the situations where you saw changes with them?
Yes, sir. There was one little guy in particular. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't talk. And the other people that I were working with, you know, you're not really allowed to. They don't want to hear Jesus. You know, they don't want to hear Jesus and God, you know, and things like that. And so I was just the aide. But when I would give a bath or, you know, have, you know, time with the children to myself, the one little guy I was really fond of. And so when I would give him a bath or I would put his night clothes on, I would just be praying over him. And I would be, you know, commanding his tongue, you know, whatever's holding his tongue. You deaf and dumb spirit, in the name of Jesus, you loose this boy's tongue. And he yelled out one day. He yelled out one day, and the staff came running. They said, "What did you do?" And I didn't want to tell him. You know, I didn't want to tell him that I've been back here praying deliverance prayers over him. But he yelled out one day, and shortly after that, he began to make sounds and begin to make words. So I give God all the praise. You know, I felt the job was an assignment. You know, it was an assignment, and so deliverance it works, and it's healing and deliverance. It really go hand in hand, and I believe after a lot of people after they get delivered, their healing is next in line, and I just see it. I just say there goes the overcomer there. Amen.
Tammy, we've seen a number of cases of young people, children, where especially had this wild violence. I remember one case. The young man was, they couldn't leave him anywhere. He'd even kick the teacher and tried to bite her, and the kids and all this was just total violence. And after ministry, he turned around and all left. So there's a lot of spirits, there's a lot more evil spirits bothering children than we would tend to think. And they're usually very easy to minister to. I mean, you don't have to go through all the things that we do with an adult. Typically, we found it is a real edge to have parents present. And then something else we learned is that if parents will go through ministry first, many times the child doesn't even need it because the child is under their spiritual authority of the parents. Or even grandparents, whoever has the authority, and when they get free of the generational stuff, the child is set free. We've seen that from time to time. So,
amen.
You know, it's frustrating. So much of that is going on all around us, and very few people ever focus on the deliverance idea.
Amen, amen. I know I have when I would be doing. You know, deliverance on someone, or, you know, I would have them repeat after me, and I've even done it with my own daughters. You know, I would, I've told them, and I would pray and say, well, first of all, I'd have them to renounce Satan. I have them to renounce Satan, and if they renounce Satan, and then I would tell them any covenant or vows that has been made with my ancestors before I was born, that was made with the enemy, made with Satan. Before I was born, I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't involved in that. I'm not in agreement with that. And a lot of times, as you say, you know, that begins to break it right there, because a lot of us, and I say us, you know, just in people in general, a lot of us are dealing with things that our ancestors, covenants and things and vows and things that they made and they took back then, and because it's coming down through the bloodline, we're dealing with stuff that we don't even know anything about. So a lot of times I find that when I have them to pray that prayer and break that, you know, that sets the whole thing in order too, you know, before we even get going. So
yeah.
I just yeah. Yeah. because we weren't with them. We don't know what our great great grandfather did, or what they didn't do, and we wasn't in agreement with them. And I don't want to, what is it? I think it talks about how it comes down through, the bloodline, through the generations, through the 10th and 4th generations. And so we definitely want to break that, because I had one lady, she was into witchcraft and stuff, and she said that she was doing things that nobody taught her to do. She said she was doing things that no one taught her to do. But when I was taking her through deliverance, later on it came out that, her grandparents, that they had a witch house or something. Her grandparents' parents, like they had a witch house, like a coven type thing. And but she never knew them. And so, so she found out the things that she was doing, it was just in the bloodline. She didn't even know, nobody taught her. She was just doing it. So after breaking those things off of her, she was able to get free and get clean and get her life in order. So deliverance is awesome. And, Jesus, he cast out demons everywhere he went. He cast out demons everywhere he went. And so we don't have to be afraid. They are afraid of us. When we say move, they move. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, and it's so true. And I've said people that, on the sheet, the problem list we hand out, for people to circle the problems that they think apply to them. Well, I've had people that they'd never been into any witchcraft themselves, but we get into ministry and I start flushing up witchcraft demons, and they came down the generational lines like you're talking about. So it's a good idea. We don't know this, like you say, the sins and iniquities of our forefathers, and they may have been into witchcraft. And so you've got that generational witchcraft coming down the lines. Well,
amen.
Big job.
And that Freemason.
A lot of people. Yeah, and all that. We see so many people that have bloodlines. Even myself, I had two grandfathers in it, I discovered, in the attic one day. And I had to go through repenting of the sins of my forefathers on that, and breaking off any Masonic curses. We have a handout at the ministry. I break it in general in the door closing prayer, but anyone that's had,
yes,
that they know of where they had ancestors that were in it, they can take that handout. It's pretty long and some pretty difficult words to say, those types of curses and all. But if they'll go through that out loud, and they more specifically break those curses to make sure the job is done. It's an evolved world out there. Well, how long have you been going through the training with us now, Tammy?
This Monday when I come back will be my fourth week. It will be my fourth week.
Yeah.
And I am really, I'm really enjoying it. And Brother Richard, Mr. Richard, the prayer handout that he gave us about illegitimacy. My parents were not married, when I was conceived, and so I was really grateful for that prayer. I was really grateful for that prayer. And so, I've been praying that prayer and looking over it. Matter of fact, I have it right down here in my book bag, and so I'm grateful for the handout. I'm just grateful for your ministry. All together, I've made several good friends. Matter of fact, me and a few of the ladies are tomorrow going to lunch, and we just learn from each other and encourage one another, and also get to do the work of the Lord. I thank you for being obedient to what the Lord had you to do. I can imagine it wasn't easy, in the early days, putting it together. I'm sure the enemy fought you, but we see who had the victory.
Well, interesting enough, it was always high adventure to me, and exciting and fulfilling from day one. And it really hasn't been a burden on me. It's been a very fulfilling, the most fulfilling thing I've done in my life. I've been in the business world a lot through the years, and I was a naval officer. But this is the most fulfilling of all. Well, In the cases you've set in on, we still have about 5 minutes remaining. What have you seen? What some of the cases you've seen when you've been setting in with a team leader?
Okay. Well, just last Monday that just passed, there was a lady that had came in, and she was in the Oklahoma City bombing. And so the Lord had revealed that a lot of her traumas was coming from, she had taken some of the pieces of the explosion home with her. And for over 16 years, she had been being tormented by the spirits that was coming off the pieces that she had. So the Holy Ghost revealed that. So, you know, she agreed to, you know, get that out of her house. But I asked her, I said, do you have any tattoos? I heard the Holy Ghost say, ask her about tattoos. So I asked her, did she have any tattoos? And she said, sure, I do. And she pulled up her sleeve, and she it said, I love you more. And I felt in my spirit the word more is where the attachment was. And so I said, you love who more? And she said, my kids. I love my children more. I said, well, that's bringing in some of your frustration. I said, because the Word of God tells us that we don't love anybody more or put anybody before whom. And she looked up and she thought about it, and she said, Jesus Christ. I said, yeah. So we went through the prayer and, you know, and prayed and repented for the tattoo. And so I, you know, seen her get free of that. And so that was, it's just, I just love it. I just love deliverance. And then the Monday before that, we had a lady, she had a lot of things going on. And when that lady left, her voice was lighter. Her face was brighter. You ever seen people look like they're drunk when they're not? This was one of those type cases. I mean, the enemy had just been having a ball with her. I mean, he had just been having a ball with her. But when she left out of there, I seen the Lord turn her around. I mean, she put her hair in a ponytail. She got her posture straight, and she just went up out of there a new and changed woman. And I just give God the glory for it, and was glad to be a part of it. And I just can't stress it enough how grateful I am for the ministry.
Awesome. So many times they look younger. Also, at the end of the ministry session, we all marvel over that. They come in kind of depressed and bent over, you know. When they go out, their faces are shining. Their wrinkles seem to be gone on their face. It's an amazing thing, and they're giving that usual answer that they feel lighter. We hear that constantly.
Because sin is a weight. And, you know, not being judgmental, we all fall short of the glory of God. But sometimes we get into things and we can't get out. And the more you know, the more you sin, you know, the more that weight, you know, that weight is a burden. And so for that burden to be lifted, it's wonderful. It really is. And I hear people say, well, you know, I don't want to get into deliverance because, you know, that's why I had mentioned in your early days of starting the deliverance ministry, because people always say, you know, the enemy fights that ministry the most, you know, the area of deliverance, because, of course, he wants to keep, you know, people bound. And so, but I hear, you know, well, I'm afraid to do it. Well, we don't do that here. But I just encourage everybody to just, you know, if you are a minister and you are walking, if you are, you know, blood-bought, disciplined, you know, baptized, tongue-speaking, you know, blood of Jesus, disciplined, living Christian, you know, you don't have to be afraid of the deliverance ministry. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. You know, he's going to bow down to Jesus. He's under our feet, and we have the power.
We're the ones. And we're the ones with the big guns. We're the ones that have all power.
Amen. And what you teach us, we have all power.
Amen. We're out of time now. Sure appreciate you, Tammy, calling in, and that was a great testimony and encouraging people. And we'll have some more excitement and fulfillment on these Monday nights. I look forward to seeing you down there. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Good evening.
Bye.
Well, I'd say she knows what she's doing when it comes to these spirits.
Yeah, she's on fire for Jesus. You can tell that.
She is. She doesn't take any slack from them whatsoever. She really seems like she's got a good grasp of the generational curses as well. So,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, she's a great testimony.
She'll set many free, and a good a deliverance minister for us.
So again, that's the book is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. Or you can go to deliveranceusa.com. It's just a wealth of information in both materials. So we do thank everybody for joining this evening. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. And we will see everybody next week. Good evening and God bless.
And God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome,
nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.